A man accused of killing a Wisconsin judge ends up dying in the hospital. An Indiana dad pleads guilty to beating and killing son who was left shackled in a bathtub. A New York City man arrested for allegedly shooting a delivery man because of a vendetta with a restaurant. And a wounded teacher who lost 11 students in the attack recounts horror. "Acting like you're asleep," is what he told the children.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun, by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
He said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today starts now.
That indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the program, and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts if you are so nice enough to do so. We greatly appreciate that. Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
We have thunderstorms going on, and as I was doing the intro, all of a sudden I felt my head being pulled towards the ground. And the dog, because the dog buddy here hates thunderstorms, he grabbed my headphone cord with his paw and started like pulling it down towards him.
Oh, baby. So something that people can try if their animal, cat or dog, is afraid of thunderstorms is called a thunder shirt.
I got to look this up.
Yeah, please do. It's basically it's the concept of like swaddling.
Yeah.
For dogs.
Do they make this for people too?
You know, they should. I know that autistic children like to be held tight. So I'm sure they do.
It'd be kind of like a girdle almost, I would think. You could do the same thing with for a human.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's something about wearing Spanx. You just feel like you're... yeah, I speak from experience. I love my Spanx.
There's even a thunder shirt for a cat. I know, I don't know how the fuck you get that on a cat. But
it's not easy. I have one and they don't like it. They fall over and play dead. Like they can't walk. I totally like paralyze them anytime I've used it.
Do you create more trauma for the cat putting it on the cat versus actually just having
100%,
them hide?
100%. Okay. Yeah. So cats, I appreciate that they have it.
Cats
for
just
dogs, it works pretty well.
Cats go hide underneath the bed and deal with it there. But I can see the dog wearing it. Yeah, I'm looking at this. So it looks like a kind of a tight little fit thing. And I'm going to look into this.
They actually have a coat that you can put over it as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it almost looks like a raincoat. It's got a hood and everything.
It's interesting because they're finding so many things and products on the market over the last, I don't know, 10 years that all have to do with pressure and weight and it alleviating anxiety. Like weighted blankets now are a big thing for people.
You know, I have one.
Yeah. And
I don't know, I've got kind of high blood pressure, so I don't know if it was causing issues, but every time I used it, I woke up with a headache.
I would think does it get more hot than like a down comforter or something?
It does. It holds warmth in a little bit.
They should make a cooling weighted blanket. So it like, it gives you air, but you still get the weight.
See, that would be a useful thing.
Yeah.
And you know, don't tell my husband, but I spent like $120 on this thing and I can't use it.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. And I even bought the child size version. So it was cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like 5 feet tall. I'm less than 5 feet. So I don't need the big one.
Stacey's short.
He wasn't interested in it. So I'm like, okay, I'll just get the little one.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if I didn't wake up at least 5 or 6 times after using it with a headache. And I'm like, this is not working. I'm not going to try it again.
I would think it would not work. I mean, I don't know. I like the concept. I like in winter, but I have multiple blankets. And throughout the night, I still like flip them off because I keep a nice cool temperature in the room.
Yeah.
And so then I get hot, though, with too many. So I don't know. I don't know that I'd like just one that's like you can't adjust. But no, interesting. Well, there you go. People like having things laying on them when they're scared. So...
100%. Yep.
There you go.
Sure do.
There you go. This is an interesting story we'll start off with here today. A man accused of killing a Wisconsin judge dies in the hospital. This is out of Madison. Did you hear about this being up there?
Oh, I did. And it scared the shit out of me because
you think you're a
my
judge?
Husband's in the legal field.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, somebody with a vendetta.
That would be, yeah. I mean, that's got to be, you know, something that runs through your mind. If the thing is, but I bet a lot of people who are in that, the legal field, do they fear that? Or is it just like this is, they don't have that sort of anxiety like the rest of us do?
I don't think they really do. Yeah. And thankfully, my husband's not a judge. So we haven't run into that. But, you know, any client who's mad or upset, you know, you don't know what the fuck they're going to do. And like a decade ago, it was a big deal. I thought about it a lot. But now, fuck, you can go into a grocery store and get shot. So what difference does it make what you do for a living?
It seems more than not, there's a lot of just non-vendetta type shootings. It's more like it's more like people living out Grand Theft Auto more than anything.
Exactly.
And you know what? This is, and I've never, ever been a proponent of like, we need to censor video games. I mean, because when I was a kid, it was like Mortal Kombat was the thing and everybody was like, oh my God, this is horrible. And I look back on that and I'm like, this is like martial arts and it's very cartoony. So I thought that was ridiculous. But today, I mean, fuck. I mean, I enjoy playing some when I have like free time, which is next to never. So maybe I play it twice a year, like Grand Theft Auto or something. It's kind of a thrill. It's kind of fun. But you got little minds on these things that are playing it at way too young of an age.
Yeah.
And they think, you know, I don't know. I mean, and it's way more real than like what we would have had. I mean, we had they weren't even good enough to be cartoons. they were like pixelized cartoons. And
exactly.
So it really didn't make that real world connection. But I don't know. I mean, I swear to God, there's two things that happened simultaneously. Grand Theft Auto and meaning Grand Theft Auto 3, which was the one that really started looking real, which is around 2001. And then the internet and us being able to hear everybody's horrible shooting stories in every town in the world. And then we just kind of pick the greatest hits of all of them. And they're all just utterly horrible, but they all like could have been part of the plot of something like Grand Theft Auto. But for all of the things that they used to jump on with video games, you never really hear anybody go after something like that. And to me, I don't know, it feels a little like that could be an obvious scapegoat versus everything else. But I don't really hear it much anymore.
No, and they really used to be. I mean, when I was growing up, this is going to show my age, but shit, they were offended by songs. You know, that songs could lead you down the wrong path.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in theory, you could be influenced by anything.
Absolutely.
And you can make the argument the other way, which I also think there's validation to. And I'm just saying I'm surprised. My main point is I'm surprised they don't use it more as a scapegoat. But what I could also argue is maybe having outlets like this and having this many angry young white males a lot of the time, maybe they're getting it out playing the video games if we didn't have those sort of outlets. Because half the time the parents aren't present, they just leave the kids to do the video games. Would we have more shootings than we do if they weren't getting it out on those video games?
And that's an interesting theory.
And people are like, oh, how could it be worse? Oh, I think it could be worse, honestly. If you look at the amount, if you just, you know, if you go to your child's high school for some event or something, or, you know, you have to stop in to pick them up and you walk through the halls, or junior high or whatever, there's plenty of children you look at and go, I would not feel comfortable having that person in my room. And they're not all going to be, you know, shooters or anything like that, but it's like, they're not many steps away. And you wonder, well, is this outlet preventing it from being worse, which sounds almost unfathomable, but I think it is. Or is this inspiring more, by basically creating a training ground on the TV? I don't know. I'm not anti, I'm not pro. I'm just kind of like, this is the world we live in. What the fuck are we doing? And why is this becoming such a thing? Where are these minds being molded this way to get there?
I think we're going to find at some point, we're going to come back to Facebook. We're going to come back to Instagram. We're going to come back to Twitter and realize that social media was a huge influence in some of these things. But we're not going to find this out for at least 20 to 30 years when they do the research.
But will it ever even change? I mean, we know it's a huge influence in terms of people's mental health and well-being, and it's far more degrading to somebody than it is positive. You go through and it's designed to do that. It's designed to suck you in. And what sucks people in? Things that are shocking, things that are interesting. See, every once in a while you get the nugget of, oh, look, it's somebody's anniversary. Wasn't that a great day? That was so fun. And then the next one is, you know, somebody's barely, you know, sane quote that you make them, you kind of go, should I report this? Are they okay? Should I call them? And then the next one is kittens. And then the next one is about the latest mass shooting. And you get all that in the course of like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So your brain is going, what the fuck? You're feeling good. You're feeling happy. You're feeling horrible. It's a total mind fuck. And our minds were not evolved enough to handle these things. This is all so new. It takes hundreds and hundreds of years to evolve. So by the time our brains are able to kind of have the concept of how to deal with something like Facebook, it'll be 300-400 years from now. And God knows what things will be like at that point. But we're still very much, our brains are operating like 100 years ago in terms of what it's able to pick up and kind of handle at one point in time. It will evolve. Oh,
absolutely.
It will evolve, but it ain't going to be us.
So, no.
I don't know. It just makes you wonder, like, will this calm down in some way, shape, or form because people will evolve? Or
somebody just
gonna...
I hope so.
I don't know.
I feel like we're out of control. I feel like we're just fucked.
It's a snow globe.
It is. And somebody is shaking the living hell out of it right now.
Yeah. No, it is completely. It's a snow globe and the Kremlin is the castle in the middle.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Yeah, you're right.
There you go. All I can hope there is that he kicks it with whatever he's dying from ahead of whatever the fuck. And I hope it's not like a last minute, well, let's press the fucking button. Why not? You know?
Well, yeah. And I've heard that he's got brain cancer, but I don't know if that's real.
There's been a lot of intelligence reports pointing toward blood cancer. And there is something wrong with him. He does not go out in public much. When he has been seen at a couple events, there are people there like arm in arm, like kind of keeping him going. So there's something going on without a doubt. And I would believe within some of the intelligence that there's probably far more that the government knows than we know. But I'm guessing he's going to be, I don't know that they're going to put him on the in memoriam things at the Oscars at the end of the year.
I doubt it.
Or maybe the CMAs. And maybe he'll come up with a country record right before he dies. And then they're like, and Vlad. Country Vlad, he made such a good Russian country album. We're going to recognize him this year.
Well, and you know, when you said there's something wrong with him, I think that goes without saying. I mean, dude's not right.
Yeah, when you have the power and then whatever medication you need to not be in horrific pain, that's not a good mix. So
yeah, I hope he kicks it real soon.
But one would have to wonder too, the people that would replace him. Their goal, I think, would be to, you know, rule the country, not necessarily destroy the world, where, you know, you do something, you're done, too. There's no, it's mutually assured destruction. There's no like, well, we won it and now we're just this independent country. Like, no, guess what? Those nuclear clouds, they come back over you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why we haven't gotten involved, because we know that shit will hit the fan and everybody's going down.
Yeah, but we keep pushing. We keep doing. Well, we're gonna say we're not playing, but I'm gonna put game pieces over here.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna roll the dice, but I'm gonna have you roll the dice for my turn. And mm-hmm. and here's all the game. And guess what? Here's all the Monopoly money too. You know, it's not playing. But
nope.
Here's a bunch of my Monopoly money, and yeah.
Nope, you can't prove that I did this, but I'm doing this.
But you can prove. But you can prove because it's like we flat out say we're doing it. We're like, we're doing this, we're doing that, but we're not playing. It's like you can't just say you're not playing if you're really playing.
Yeah, you can.
And expect other countries to go, oh, okay, you're not playing, meaning Russia. I mean, I their argument to us is like, it's pretty valid. It's no, if you're getting involved, but you're just not saying you're getting involved, but all your actions show you're getting involved. It's just fact. It's not, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying, I mean, it's an observation. You can't change an observation of what reality is.
Yeah, but haven't we been doing that for the last couple of years?
We've been doing it forever, but I think the time and technology and all that has come to the point where it's just like, we have to play by new rules. We can't go by what used to work because it's not going to work.
No, it's not. And society has changed.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a fun tangent. A Wisconsin man accused of fatally shooting a retired Wisconsin judge who had a list that included prominent national political figures died in a hospital, state officials said. This is from the Associated Press. Douglas Udy, 56, shot former Juneau County Circuit Judge John Romer in Romer's home in New Lisbon on Friday before shooting himself, authorities said. He was taken to a hospital where he had been on life support. Wisconsin Department of Justice spokesman Jillian Drummond confirmed Yuda's death. The agency said that Yuda was declared brain dead on Saturday morning and his body remained on life support until Tuesday morning to allow for organ donation. Yuda had an extensive criminal and prison record dating back at least two decades, including a case when he was sentenced by Romer to 6 years in prison on weapons charges. He was released from the last prison stint in April of 2020. Police found the 68-year-old Romer zip-tied to a chair, an official told the Associated Press. The official could not discuss details of the investigation publicly and spoke on condition of anonymity. Udy had a list of potential targets in his vehicle, including Romer, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Whitmer's office and the law enforcement source said it's unclear how Udy obtained a gun. Drummond said the Wisconsin Justice Department is still investigating that aspect of the case. I'm guessing by any means possible, because it's not hard to fucking get one. Maybe Walmart? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how did he get this? I don't know. Ask a neighbor? I mean, you could do it. It's not like that's a big mystery here.
Well, especially in Wisconsin. Come on.
Almost any state for the most part.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like, yeah. Okay, well, figure out where he got the gun. That doesn't necessarily mean the gun, you know, we got to figure out why the fuck he did this. I mean, probably because he had a vendetta against the guy.
That's what it sounds like.
So we figure out where he got the gun. I don't know what that tells us other than how we know every other fucking murder is committed by either they legally got it at a store or they got it at a gun show, or rarely is it that they got it off the street, because those are a whole different type of crimes where those guns are used. This guy, I'm probably thinking something fairly normal. And then what it doesn't mean anything because we don't do anything about it. So nope. Great. You found it, you got it here. Okay. Who fucking cares? I don't care. It doesn't matter in this case. Again, it goes back to, okay, guy's not mentally stable. Guy's been charged this many times with this and that, weapons charges. And then we still say, well, maybe in 6 years he'll be better and he'll be rehabilitated. Mm. But the part is, you're not being rehabilitated in prison. You're basically kind of fearing for your life most of the time and on edge.
So and get out with post-traumatic stress disorder.
And then all you do is work out so you can be stronger. Mm-hmm. When you get out. So we make people stronger and more deranged in most cases of being in prison. And then we're like, why did they do this?
Yeah. Then we wring our hands and go, I don't understand. I don't understand why they're doing this.
I know it's the gun that he got. That's no, it's not. I mean, should this be controlled better? Yes, without a fucking doubt. But it again, not the main fucking problem.
Hey, I have a gun upstairs. It's not shooting anybody right now. It's just sitting there. It's the people who are shooting the guns.
99.
Yeah, the guns are the problem. And I really don't think we should be having those AR-15s out there. And I heard this morning that the AR-15 mentality is that they want them for shooting varmints. I mean, what are we, like Yosemite Sam out there, you know, boom, boom. Come on, guys.
I mean, that can be used as a hunting rifle, technically.
Yeah, but you're going to blow the living shit out of what you just shot.
You probably would, yeah. But, I mean, I in this world today, though, I don't really fault a sane individual for having one, for their own, especially if, like, you're in a rural area or something like that. If shit goes to hell, which we have seen happen many a times, now, I mean, especially in cities, too, where people are like, I'm just going to sit on my porch with this. I have no intention of shooting anybody, but if that keeps these people away from my house, all the better. I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily fault it. Certainly automatics and that sort of shit should not be out there. Age should be a restriction. Background check should be a restriction. And, you know, I think that it almost should be something where it's like, you know, every so often you have to, you know, show up and renew it. And then a new background check goes on, because when you bought it 10 years ago, maybe you didn't have that mental breakdown yet, or maybe you weren't diagnosed with this or that. And then maybe we go, okay, we're sorry. It's just not okay anymore. I think most sane people will be good with that. I think most people who want to have a gun and go hunting or do whatever, just shoot for fun, are okay with these things. 99.9% or whatever it is of gun owners are not doing violent crimes.
But no, they're not.
But we continue to make that a huge issue. And again, most of us too are on board with realistic gun controls, not just anybody can technically get one. And that's where we are. But why is, but then the group that represents it all is like, no, we can't do that. We can do that. And it's not taking yours away.
We don't want to.
But why? It's like, this doesn't take yours away. This, well, it's going to lead to this or that. Is it really? I mean, we had the Brady Bill for how long, and it didn't take your fucking guns away, and everybody right. could still do the shit they wanted to do. And violent crime, actually, with that, especially with children, was way the fuck down. And it seemed to be fairly effective. Now, again, taking them all away? No, that's never going to happen, nor would it be sane or a good idea. But we always jump to that. It's like, let's look a little deeper than that. You know, yeah. It's just... But we don't, because we don't want to. And
we don't and we won't. And I think it comes down to the NRA. for the longest time, I really supported them, and I'm done supporting them. I just think there's a time that they need to say, you know what, this shit's getting out of control.
They're fucking,
you know, anytime there's a car that's got an issue, they do a recall. They're like, we need to fix this. Well, NRA, you've got a problem.
My problem, the NRA is like, it's almost like a church. It's like a religion to many people. And it's, you know, maybe infancy or earlier years, it was like, okay, it had a place and a time. And then we found out it was fucking kids or something. It's like the Catholic Church, you know, where it's like, oh shit. You mean it's not just like these, you know, bake sales and doing good things. And it's like, oh, there's all this other dirty shit going on. And then a lot of people left. But then still, there's like a lot of people who still stayed, no matter what. I feel it's like what the NRA is. It's like, it was initially in its inception, not such a bad thing. And then it's like, oh, we're really preventing just common sense shit here on a very, very militant basis. And we're like, I was always a part of it. I'm going to hang on to those happy memories and never go away. Give me my hat. Yeah. And it's like, that's just the most archaic, idiotic thinking that there is, but it seems to be going on, you know, with that sort of an organization.
Yeah.
And it's like, I agree. I don't know, like, can somebody create a separate organization like that, you know, it supports that, but isn't so fucking insane and blatantly just fucking, you know, any good idea, you know, out the door and saying, no, we can't even consider this. I don't know why there couldn't just be a second group. Or I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, people get really pissed off and offended when you start talking about that. And it, like, you're somehow limiting.
And that's people. The thing. I'm not trying to, I don't want to, I, but there, you right. don't, you don't give an angry 18 year old a gun. You don't have it be illegal for them to buy it at a store if they fail a background check. But hey, on Sunday, they can go down to the flea market and pick up whatever the fuck they want with no background check and just, you know, pass it with cash to Chuck over here who wants to sell it and then walk away clean. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, it doesn't. And the horse is out of the barn. So I don't, what do we do?
Exactly.
What do we do?
These things don't make any sense. There's already too much. You're just never going to fix that aspect. That's where you got to go and say, okay, this is the world we live in. What can we do based on the poor decisions we've already made and the consequences that we have? How do we deal with those? And that's, we just keep going back to like, well, before we made these decisions, here's what we should. Well, that's great, but we're not there. We're not there. So what do we do with the world we've created? How do we handle that? It's like somebody constantly going, well, it's because of this. Great. We know what it's because of.
Yeah, we don't. We know the cause. Let's fix what we've done.
Yeah.
Let's come up with a solution for the problem we've created.
It's a very small, it's a very childish way of thinking. That's how kids come. Well, so-and-so said this. So, well, yes. And you also could choose how you reacted. You also have that power to do that. But so many of us just do not operate that way. And it's scary. Grown-ups used to have that ability. And I fear like that's something that is very rare these days. Dad and stepmom now charged with murder in death of a boy, starved and shackled in a bathtub because somehow this seemed like a good idea to this couple. Again, how the fuck do we get here? This is from Fox 59. This is in Monroe County, Indiana. A father and stepmother of a boy who was allegedly restrained in a motel bathtub and starved to death are now being charged with a murder. Surprise! Louis Paso Jr. and Adana Medina Flores are also being charged with neglect of a dependent resulting in death, neglect of a dependent, criminal confinement, and battery resulting in bodily injury to a person under 14. They both made their first court appearance in Monroe County on Friday. Paso and Medina Flores were arrested on neglect charges last week after 12-year-old Eduardo Paso died at IU Health Bloomington Hospital. According to a probable cause affidavit, Eduardo was found unconscious at the hospital by his father at about 2:52 a.m. On May 24th, he was pronounced dead at 3:05 a.m. Eduardo was found to be severely emaciated by hospital staff and had multiple bruises, lacerations, and ulcers all over his body in various stages of healing, the affidavit says. An autopsy found the boy's body displayed many signs of starvation, neglect, and physical abuse. The coroner said he was severely emaciated, weighing only 50 to 55 pounds with 0% body fat. When asked what happened, Paso initially told officers, Eduardo fell in the shower the day before and sustained a bump on the back of his head that bled.
Mm-hmm.
He said he cleaned the wound, but was awakened by the boy struggling to breathe. Shocking. Shortly before being transported to the hospital. While speaking with Paso, detectives say he admitted to spanking Eduardo on multiple occasions with a leather belt, his hand, and a flip-flop. I'm guessing that was just the tip of the iceberg. The affidavit says he couldn't explain how he became so emaciated and denied withholding food from him. Yeah, he was on a strict diet. Authorities said
he just wasn't eating much.
Authorities said during a search of the Bloomington Motel, where Paso and Mendez Flores stayed with Eduardo and other siblings, they found wrist and ankle restraints, chains, and a dog training collar, a shock collar, under the box spring. Court documents say officers also found a surveillance camera and video that showed Eduardo lying in the bathtub with his hands and feet bound. Family members can reportedly be seen in the video walking into the bathroom and ignoring the boy. So what are you doing? Are you going over for like Sunday dinner and it's like, oh, there's Eduardo. Hey, how you doing, buddy? You doing good in there? He was chained to the washcloth bar in the bathtub. And he had an electric dog collar asphyxiated to his neck. While
Holy
searching
shit.
Paso's phone, detectives say they found a message in Spanish that translated to, Eduardo was almost out of the chains. Investigators said they believed the family had recently arrived in Monroe County to promote a circus.
What? Yes, no, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. They are traveling circus performers. Mendina I'm not kidding. Mendora Flores told officers she and Paso would usually take Eduardo with them as they distributed advertisements, but would occasionally leave him chained or tied to a bathroom. She also said they would use the wireless camera to watch him while they were working. Hang on a second. There's tickets. You got to see the Lion Show, and those jugglers are amazing. I'm getting motion on my ring cam. Oh, Eduardo's almost out of the chains in the bathtub.
Well, yeah, the kid had like 0% body fat. Of course he's going to be out of the chains.
The couple's three other children, because yes, they fucked a lot. The 9-year-old girl and 5-year-old boy and 2-year-old boy have been placed in care of Child Protective Services. Officials say they appear to be healthy. So they just didn't like Eduardo. When Eduardo's siblings were interviewed by child advocates, one child said their brother had stopped eating, which he was punished for. She also said in the last few days, he told her he just wanted to juggle and be free, the court document said.
What? Oh, my God.
So this is like the what was the fucking movie a couple years ago? The one with all the circus acts in it.
With what's his face.
Yeah.
God, we sound like old people. You know that yeah, movie that with one. What's his face?
The circus act movie. The great something. It's like a very fucked up version of The Greatest Showman, where like the scene goes into the bathroom and the kid's chained up and he's like, I just wanted to juggle and be free. How fucking sad and horrible is this?
And I can't believe that other people walked by and were like, oh, there you are. Hi, Eduardo.
Sorry.
What's up?
We're out of toilet paper. Is there any more in here? Another sibling didn't initially acknowledge Eduardo as a sibling and didn't include him in a stick figure portrait of the family. According to the affidavit, when asked who Eduardo was, he reportedly said he was bad and not part of the family. Paso and Medina Flores remain in protective segregation at the Monroe County Correctional Center. Bond has been revoked for both. The sheriff's office say Medina Flores is national and has also has an ICE detainer. So let's hope we don't just like let them go back to Mexico on this. My God, what the fuck? I mean, I just no words. There's no way to analyze this and go, oh, I see where they were coming from. Kind of like the dumb bitch whose son killed all those people, all the kids the other day, who's like, oh, he had his reasons. I'm guessing there might be a few angry dads who have their reasons of eventually shooting you outside the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That poor kid. I kind of can't think about it because it's so fucking awful.
I mean, yeah, to an animal, you wouldn't do this. And a human, I mean, I just don't. How is someone operating? It's like an alien spaceship. You know, like you figure out like, oh, a computer operates if you've used them for any point in time. And you go, okay, this is kind of like Windows 95, or this is kind of like this or that, or this. And you know, like you figure it out. If you're a Mac user, your PC, you can like, okay, I get it. There's similar operational ways, and I can kind of see how this goes. This is like how a fucking alien spacecraft works, and you've never seen the spacecraft. It's like, I have no idea how the fuck this works. And you know, it's like nothing. There's not a mouse. There's not even a fucking screen, but it's a computer. And you somehow have to like, what? Huh?
How the hell? I might be able to give you a little bit of, well, boy, I don't know if I could give you any leeway to freak out and chain up your kid, but let's just say you did. You were having just the shittiest day possible.
Break out the chains.
The worst day. The next morning, wouldn't you wake up and go,
shit,
oh my God,
I chained up my kid.
Right? At some point, wouldn't you just take a look and go, oh my God, I need help.
One would hope, but the thinking of human beings is not right at all anymore. They're jumping to different places and weird conclusions and weird desires for action. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm wondering, like, is it something that we're eating? Is it something? What we take in socially and through news and media and all that is quite fucked up. But still, I mean, the rest of us don't jump to this.
No, we don't. You know, we might get mad. We might call somebody an idiot. We might say something stupid. But we don't shackle a kid in the bathtub for a lifetime.
But what some people do is get mad at the Chinese restaurant delivery driver, stalk him for several weeks, and assassinate him.
Because, but wait a minute.
Because you didn't get enough duck sauce.
Okay, before we decided to do the podcast today, I went and looked in our drawer. We order a lot of Chinese food here.
But I have a whole drawer of duck sauce.
Whole fucking drawer. Yeah. 17 packets is what I counted. And I trust me, we used some.
Oh, yeah.
So I have 17 left over.
You do, because sometimes they forget to give you the neon red sweet and sour. So you got to hoard a little bit of the duck stuff because it tastes pretty much the same. And it's emergency. You just got it there. If this guy wasn't hoarding, if this guy was not hoarding duck sauce, it's on him.
Yes.
This is one thing you can be a hoarder of, is duck sauce. Totally acceptable. But this guy, I'm looking at his picture of him being arrested and being pulled out of a building. This looks like a normal guy. He's dressed nice. He looks like he could be, you know, the Dockers advertisement guy at JCPenney on the little yes. cardboard sign there. It's like, oh, look yes. at the new Dock. Is that Arizona Jean Company? Fuck, I didn't know they still made Arizona Jean stuff. That's amazing. I haven't been in a Penny's in 10 years. But this is kind of what he looks like.
Yeah, he does.
And he's, this is someone who clearly went off the deep end. And you got to imagine there's probably far more things going on in his life that made him make the Chinese delivery guy the target of his anger. But somehow the Chinese delivery guy became the target of his anger. I'd be interested to hear what else is going on. This is in Queens, New York. The source is True Crime Daily. A 51-year-old man has been indicted on multiple charges for allegedly shooting and killing a delivery driver after making several threats to the victim and the restaurant where he worked. In a June 2nd statement, the Queens District Attorney Office announced Glenn Hirsch had been charged with murder, stalking, and other charges in connection with Zuin Yan's death on April 30th. Hirsch allegedly developed an obsessive vendetta against Great Wall Restaurant because of a petty dispute over a takeout order. On November 30th at 9:30 p.m., Hirsch reportedly placed an order at Great Wall Chinese Restaurant. And if you've ever seen a Great Wall Chinese Restaurant sign on a mini mall, it's exactly that. There's just a different phone number below it.
Yes.
He became irate and argued with restaurant employees. Hirsch reportedly wanted a refund and to return his food. But the restaurant...
Well, you can't do that.
No, you can't return food. And the restaurant refused and called the police. New York City police showed up, reportedly told Hirsch the restaurant could not take back his order because of COVID-19 protocols. Or how about you can't return fucking food? It's not even COVID that causes that. If it were 1988, you still can't return your food.
Yeah, I mean, you walk away, if it's in a bag and you've touched it, the food's gone. It's over.
And if you're just missing sauce, that's not a reason for a refund. It's like, no. Oh, we'll bring you some sauce, maybe. Or, we're sorry, we forgot, we're humans. After that incident, Hirsch allegedly routinely threatened and harassed the restaurant's personnel. So he'd still go into the restaurant. Fuckers, you didn't give me my duck sauce. These egg rolls are great. The district attorney's office said Yan walked outside the Great Wall on December 16th and was approached by Hirsch, who allegedly said, "I have a gun," and, "Be careful. This is the last time I'm going to tell you."
Oh my God.
It's kind of like falling down in a way.
Yeah, it is.
About a month later, on January 28th, Hirsch allegedly went up to another restaurant employee who was shoveling snow, pointed a gun at him and said, "Remember me? I'll kill your entire family." The employee went inside to call police, but when he returned, Hirsch reportedly was gone. The victim's tires, however, were slashed. On April 30th, surveillance footage reportedly showed Hirsch driving past Great Wall 7 times between 7:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Around 9:30, Yan reportedly left the restaurant on his scooter to make a delivery at the 108th Street, and Hirsch allegedly followed him. Yan dropped off the food, got back on his scooter. He stopped at the red light on 67th Drive and 108th, and Hirsch allegedly approached him on foot. Yan reportedly tried reversing the scooter to get away from him, but Hirsch allegedly fired a single shot, killing Yan. Hirsch reportedly got back into his car and drove to his wife's apartment in Briarwood. Police reportedly seized 8 firearms from Hirsch's wife's residence while conducting a search. If convicted, he could face up to life in prison.
Well, this is another guy who shouldn't have a gun. Why did he have guns? I mean, he was stalking these people. He was threatening them. He's saying, "I have a gun. This is the last time I'm going to tell you." He is threatening them. Why did he still have his guns?
Exactly. I mean, and even if you do report it, probably nothing would happen, you know, or it would be you can't be threatening people. And then the person who's reporting it is like, "Oh fuck, they didn't do anything about it. And now he knows I reported him." That's why a lot of people, I don't think, report shit like this.
Yeah.
Because, no, good point. Because that will trigger the crazy person to use the guns that don't get taken away.
And they can't do anything until he kills somebody.
And it's like, "Oh shit, yeah, he had those guns. He legally had them, though." He legally had them because we don't have any fucking legislation about, you say crazy shit to your delivery driver like that, we still can't take your guns. Because, yeah, it's hearsay, you know. God. But I mean, the thing is, in the world that we're in, too, you could have a lot of that. You could look at the other side and you could have people going and saying crazy shit about people that never, ever happened. And then their guns get taken away just on hearsay. So, I mean, you look at both sides of it. It's, there's not a good solution either way, but I would think, after a little bit of time here on security cameras and things like that, there's mounting evidence that did exist before this happened that you probably could have pushed somebody with to do something about, maybe. But
well, you could have gotten a restraining order against him.
But again, it's a piece of fucking paper. What does it matter?
It doesn't.
If the
person doesn't do shit,
it's like that makes it's like. It's almost like, here's a teddy bear. Do you feel better? Okay, the judge said this is a naughty boy. Here's your teddy bear, and you go home and you'll be safe and sound. Why? How am I going to be safe and sound? This person's still out there. Because we gave you a teddy bear, and that magical teddy bear that says on it that this person can't be near you will keep you safe. But, like, there's nobody guarding me. Like, this person's clearly crazy. Yes, but your magical teddy bear will keep you safe because we said it out loud and put it in a filing cabinet.
Maybe we should create teddy bears that shoot.
Exploding teddy bears.
Yes. That'll be next.
There's a teddy bear that's used for paranormal investigations.
Are you serious?
Yes. It and a lot of people really like it. Because they use it in situations where they believe it's like a ghost of a child or something. And it's basically called a trigger object. And it's something that someone that age would understand, and if they were alive. And it has sensors in it, and the theory is basically if the sensors are triggered, when you ask questions and stuff, it will activate. And a lot of people have a lot of very interesting results with said teddy bear.
Ooh.
If you believe in that stuff. Yeah, so... It's creepy and weird. People are like making other shit that's just like naturally creepy and using it as trigger objects, like music boxes and all sorts of stuff.
Oh my God. So you're attracting ghosts. You're doing.
People are trying. Yeah. Without like using a Ouija board, they're using these objects to do such a thing. So,
wow.
There you go. Everywhere you go, everywhere. It's just
everywhere.
What is wrong with people? So there you go. That's another another exciting, fun, and uplifting episode.
That's what we do
of True Crime Today. More reason to hide under the sheets and never come out, or come out fully armed with the exploding teddy bears, ready for whatever. That's going to wrap up today's episode. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts, and be sure to leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to True Crime Today.